Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. As always, you can learn more about what we do at michaelneal.org. My guest for this week's conversation is Mara Gleason. She's the co-founder of One Solution, an international nonprofit dedicated to solving large-scale global issues by illuminating a new understanding of the mind. And in fact, that new understanding of the mind is what we've been speaking about all week. And today we're going to talk about what it means to slow down to the speed of life. One of the chapters in your book where you start sharing stories of the work that you do with other people is you call it the smartest men in the room. And what I loved about it is it really pointed to what happens for us when we slow down in our heads. And there's a book title I've always loved. Joe Bailey and Richard Carlson wrote a book called Slowing Down to the Speed of Life. Mm-hmm. And it, to me, that's the essence of that. And I just wonder if you can talk about, I mean, you can share the story, but I'm actually just that experience of what, why is it that when our thoughts slow down, our experience shifts so profoundly? And how do I do that?
Yeah. It's really interesting, but I have observed that that's universally true of humans, that when they slow down, and I don't even like, because then immediately you jump to that, oh, how do I slow down?
Yeah.
But it doesn't even have to be like what we think of as slowing down. You know, I worked with so many different kind of really highly successful business leaders and entrepreneurs, and their fear was that, like, they were going to end up on the couch, like, with, you know, Doritos on their shirt and drool dripping down their chin. Like, I don't want to slow down. Like, slowing down is the devil, you know. And it's really, and amazingly, if you've ever talked with athletes or emergency room doctors or pilots, they will tell you actually want to be very slow in your mind in order to be very fast and responsive in the moment. So it's an interesting word to use that can be very easily misinterpreted. But what I think of it more as, which you hear in that story, is people get less attached to their thinking. And that creates a spaciousness. Mm. It often comes with a real feeling of kind of fluidity and more time. Mm. I remember listening to a race car driver say, like, you have to be slow in your mind in order to not die when driving a race car.
That's a very good motivation.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's a callback to, you know, it's a shame we can't just, you know, mug people into an experience of spirit, but it's the same kind of idea.
Well, and it's interesting because it is like anytime our life depends on it, we're actually really good at clearing out the noise and not paying attention to, excuse me, but shit that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And yet when we have all the safety and oodles of time on our hands, we can just indulge in so much different thinking that is not helpful. It's counterproductive. We can get really into it because we have egos, or, oh, this is fascinating what I'm thinking about now, and this is amazing what I'm talking about here. But the truth of the matter is, when your life depends on it, none of that stuff matters. And I think what's unique about in that chapter is I talked about a team that I worked with of engineers and scientists that were really, really, really bright human beings, but they had so much on their minds all the time that most of them were living in a constant state of minor to extreme stress and trying to deliver on a contract for the US military. So they were the minds behind designing this new technology that the military desperately needed. And interestingly, what happened in a 4.5-day program is that those several people in that room, almost all of them to some degree, but a few of them had really extreme aha moments where when they settled out of all of the constant revving and doing and noise and thinking about this and that, and they had these profound realizations of realizing there was kind of a deeper knowing that had nothing to do with their intellect, that had nothing to do with all the information they had built up over life and over their careers and their impressive educations, that there was something bigger, broader, more powerful that emerged when they got that space in the slowing down, if you will.
Well, my experience of it, I remember, I think it was Kathy Casey was teaching a program when I was first learning about this. And she said, you know, she basically take the next few days off in your head. And I kind of did. And I remember it was extraordinary because it was a new experience for me. I mean, colors were brighter and it was very different. And I sort of have come to think that maybe the reason we don't experience that is just a fear that if we let all the noise in the head go, we will be left with nothing but Dorito stains on our shirts, mm-hmm. as opposed to actually know what's underneath all that is this profound, clear, simple yes. way of being in the world.
Yes, exactly. And I think it's something that it had to be proven to me over and over again, everything from my experience being held up to then just moments where I've, to your point, kind of taken a break. I sort of joke now that I'll bench myself. I'm like, you know, you need to rest. You're not playing the game of life so well right now, so we're going to bench you for the next few minutes. You just need to get your energy back. You know what it's like?
Yeah.
And as I've done that and as I've seen clients do that, I've seen that it is universally true that people realize that there's a more powerful intelligence available beyond the obsessive sort of treadmill one I've been working on for however long. People, it's weeks, months, years. But anytime I've benched myself and kind of come back to the game, it's looked totally different. Not because the game changed, but because I changed.
Yeah. And so in a way, I'm almost more interested for you than in the work that you've done. Like, how do you know when you need to bench yourself?
That one's easy, because you don't feel very good.
Right. But you don't feel very good, not like you've got a cold. Like.
Right. Like, basically what I would define as stressed. Mm. That feeling of like, for everyone has different words for it, but sort of like, tightness or internal agitation. Like, I notice one of the symptoms of my getting more stressed is I just get really impatient with the world and no one is doing it fast enough or good enough. And I just get critical. I get critical of the world. I get critical of myself, and I want things to be happening faster. That's my version of stress. Everyone has a different version of stress, but it doesn't feel nice. And to your point, not like a cold, but like a general kind of churning agitation within you. And I would say that the more I've learned about the fact that that can only come from my mind, that that can never come from a set of external circumstances or other people or what have you, the more my tolerance for that has gotten sharper. So meaning what used to be stressful to me is way bigger now to me. Like, it's gotten louder. It's like if you didn't drink alcohol, you know, one glass of wine has a much bigger effect on you. So as I've learned to listen to my feeling, I've gotten much more sensitive to realizing when I'm creating certain kinds of agitation and stress in myself much earlier on. So I go to the bench quicker.
That's what happened to me. And I thought I was broken when I was learning this, is my stress tolerance dropped through the floor. Like, I used to pride myself on how much stress I could handle, because I'd read somewhere that the more stress you can handle, the more successful you'll be. And it might have been a guy thing.
But good for you.
Yes, you know, but you can rest when you're dead, kid. But it was that, and I suddenly was finding I couldn't handle very much stress at all. And eventually I came to see, oh, that's a good thing. That's a sign that I'm actually getting more sensitized, like the frog kind of going, shoot, this water's hot, you know, rather than staying in it till he's boiled to death.
Exactly. Exactly. And I find that so interesting about the human system in general. It's the same with the body. It's like the better you treat your body, the less tolerance you have for treating it shitty, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's nature helping you out. Nature's giving you the big thumbs up, like you're doing good. Keep heading in that direction.
Well, and the fact that the mind works the same way is revelatory, or it was to me, that you know, I always think of the hand on the hot stove. Like, of course, I'm glad that the hand on the hot stove, I know to take it off. But when my mind is doing that, it doesn't occur to me, oh, I can take my hand off my mind.
Yes.
And in the same way, that's the point.
Right. And that's where I think this understanding is revolutionary. Because it points to something so simple that's inbuilt. It's already here. Everyone can be educated about its existence. And it's kind of the opposite of what's being touted out there in the world these days. It's like, if you're not busy, if you're not stressed, you're not paying attention. Whereas we're saying, actually, no, if you're stressed, that's your body and your mind telling you that you're not using your mind in a way that's helping you.
You can read more about the smartest men in the room in Mara's book, One Thought Changes Everything, available at pretty much every Amazon around the world right now. Tomorrow, Mara's going to be sharing another client story about some work that she did with her business partner in the military. And I think you'll find it a very heart-opening episode. Until then, have fun, learn heaps, and we'll speak to you soon.